in the window, the table is spread in splendor.
Amen.
Someone stands by an open door. This old heart of mine is crying.
Amen.
Thank God's bread for me.
Amen. Thank you, brothers.
See the bright light shine.
Yeah.
It's just about home.
Thank you, brother.
I can see my father's baggies at the door. This world is still filled with mess. I'm ready for deliverance.
Thank you, Brother Goodman. Amen.
I can see the family gathered, faces that are all familiar. No one anymore. I can see the crystal river.
Yeah.
Just about all time,
yep.
I can see a father standing at the door.
Yep.
This world has been a wilderness. I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this.
You, Pam, you know Wayfaring Stranger? You don't know it either? He's trying to get me singing that, but it'd be good for none of it. But I was hoping somebody could sing it this morning. I'm just a wayfaring stranger traveling through this world of woe.
Maybe you ought to put us, your job off on somebody else. Maybe
yeah. I was just trying to see if I could find someone that could sing that this morning. It's really in my heart. I can't sing a lick, but I wish I'd get somebody to sing it.
I'll try one more. Now, you can forget the words, but that's just the way it is. I stood on the banks of a wide raging river. I've made my way through some valleys and deserts, believing I'd never be alone.
Hey.
I stood at the foot of a prayer. I stood at the foot of what seemed like Mount Everest, knowing I'd have the strength for the climb.
Come through the
light,
but
sure,
like I could
may ask me why, I have no hesitation. God does what He says He will do. Well, I simply say every trial has taught me there's nothing He won't help me through. So why should I dwell on the hardships and struggles? Well, I will just lean on them. I see the way this will end in the great celebration, and even my heart I
everybody here today. I don't know what you came for, but I know what I came for. I came here to preach the Word of God, the singing of the songs of God. I'll tell you what, God said He chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, foolish preaching to some people seems foolishness, even if sometimes it seems foolishness to me. But I remember one day I heard a man of God preach the Word of God. I tell you what, I got mad. Yeah, I did. I got mad at him. I got mad at my wife. I thought they both conspired against me. I thought she's told him everything I'd ever done, but it wasn't her. It wasn't him, but it was God through him speaking to me personally. And let me say this about preaching. We're down to preaching time, and if I respected you, I wouldn't be respecting him. And God told me not to be no respecter of persons. I'm saying all that because the message is rough. I got business here today. I'm in the office straight there. Well, the devil's up here kicking me in the hind end saying you can't preach that message today. But I'm just a messenger boy. And all I'm doing is delivering God's message. So open up your Bible, please, to Isaiah chapter 5. Good to have Brian, Pam, Titus, Philip, and David with us here this morning. And I hope they make a habit of showing by here. Showing up by here, and good to have you here this morning. I tell you right now, I'm glad I'm saved, amen. And Isaiah, today it happened. And you know, I told them this morning in Sunday school, I thought it strange that the day I got saved, April 27th, 1988, the devil, that old liar, and the father of it, came up to me and told me I didn't really get saved, and I thought that was strange. He never said nothing like that before I got saved. And I thought, well, I must have got something, or he wouldn't have said that. But I'm glad, praise God, God's able to save the uttermost from the guttermost, all that come to Him, amen. Isaiah, chapter number 5, you got a good old King James Bible, you brought something worth bringing to the house of God. Isaiah, chapter 5, we'll start our reading, we'll start it in verse 11 for sake of time. I wish we could take the clock down back there. But Isaiah, chapter 5, we'll start our reading verse number 11. God here says, whoa! Unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that they may continue till night, till wine inflame them. That summed up my life before I got saved. And now that verse describes me to the T. Verse 12 says, and the harp, and the vial, and the tabret,
and the pipe and the wine are in their feast. You know, you ever go to one of these rock concerts, and that's one thing I did by listening to music, might as well have been there. But they have all this. I mean, the more the merrier, the more dope, the more drink, the more, the more instruments, the better. And if that ain't enough, they get all big and wild and tear their instruments up and bust them up, and everybody loves it and jump out in the crowd and all that. But anyway, it says in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord. Now, we're here this morning because we're regarding the work of the Lord. I'll say He'll be doing some work here in a minute. He'll work on my heart and He'll work on your heart. And hopefully, we'll leave out here today having been challenged by the Lord and have a heart for souls. But they regard not the work of the Lord. They make light of it. They make fun of it. They're a bunch of crazy people down there at church. They could be out here fishing, riding their four-wheelers, deer hunting today. I'm glad I made better choices years ago. I didn't make good choices. But praise God, I'm in the house of the Lord today. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands. That always makes me think about that verse in Job 37, verse 7. Says, He sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men everywhere may know His work, and every atheist, looking Him right straight in the face, has those fingerprints, endorsement of His Creator upon His hand, telling Him that He didn't evolve, but that rather He was created. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days draw nigh, thou sayest, I have no pleasure in them. You do well to remember your Creator, amen. I'll tell you right now, you got much to do with Him. In Him you live and move and have your being. You won't get too far without Him, amen. But they don't want to regard that. They want to somehow ignore and disallow God having any place. And they don't ever consider the operation of His hand. Verse 13, therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Hosea said, my people are stirred for lack of knowledge. And their honorable men are famished. And their multitude dried up with thirst. Here's our text verse. Verse 14, therefore hail. There's the word. Hail hath enlarged herself. And opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp. And he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean man, I've met them. I used to be one of them. Just too big. I seen a license plate one day said, heaven won't have me, and hell's afraid I'll take over. God winked this at him, commands men everywhere to repent. But Molly, men underestimate God.
That's right.
Men become like dead men in His presence. They can't even stand up, much less fight or argue. They become like dead men. I mean, they just fall down at His presence. They come to arrest Jesus. Jesus said, whom seek ye? They said, we seek Jesus. He said, I'm He. And they fell down to the ground, couldn't even get up. I tell you what, He's all of God you'll ever see. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. God's a spirit. Those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. But He was God manifested in the flesh. But anyway, therefore hell hath enlarged itself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp shall, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean men shall be brought down. And the mighty men shall be humbled. And the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. For the Lord of hosts, God bless you women, amen. Hallelujah. Y'all just hang in there, amen, all you want. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. I want to stop right there. And I'm going to be reading several places in the Bible, but I'll stop right there, and I'll go to God in prayer. And I want to preach today on how do you warn someone about a place called hell. And there's several other places I've got to read, but we'll go to God in prayer right now. Father, we love You this morning. Lord, we thank You, Father, for these that have come today. And Lord, I pray more than anything to be anointed of God, that You might censor my tongue, that it not go beyond the Spirit of God. Lord, I don't want to preach in my flesh. I don't want, Lord, to cause any harm to the work of God. But I pray precept upon precept and line upon line. Thus saith the Word of God. Help me, Lord, I pray. Lord, I pray, dear Father, Lord, You would order the speech, dear Father, today. And Lord, I pray You preach to me. Preach to me for Your glory and praise. If there be one here today, Father, lost, without God, without hope in this world, I pray, dear Father, today they'd see a scarlet thread like Rahab had in her window. And I pray they'll take that thread of hope, that scarlet thread, and escape the destruction and damnation that's coming upon this world. Father, I pray, dear Father, today, Lord, You would examine every heart. And Lord, in the light of the Word of God, and Lord, by the Holy Spirit of truth, Father, I pray You assure our hearts today that we are what we say we are. And Lord, if there be any cause, Lord, for worry, I pray they'll bring that cause to the altar and get it settled and get assurance in the heart. And we'll thank You and ask these things the best we can in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 14, there's just a little insert in there. It's about a devil called Lucifer. And God says this about the devil in Isaiah 14, verse 12. He says, "How art thou fallen from heaven?" He's been there. "O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High." Verse 15 says, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Now the devil had aspirations. He's kind of like, I can't think of his name now. Sung that song, "I Did It My Way." Frank Sinatra, thank you, Lord. He's kind of like Frank Sinatra. And he said, "I did it my way." Well, the devil's got his way of doing things, and God's got His way of doing things, and they're two definite opposites. Amen. That's why the Bible says, "What fellowship has light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Baal?" But listen, we're going to be preaching today in Luke chapter 16. And the reason we are, everybody says, "Hey, you know there's a hell." I'll tell you, people don't like messages about hell, and I beg to differ with that. On our website, we've got all kind of messages on there, but there's one message on there, and the message called "The Torments of Hell." It's visited at least 1,600 times a month. Don't tell me people ain't interested in hell. We had a dinner over here yesterday, and my granddaughter, my 9-year-old, got to come with me. On the way up here, Brian, she asked me a question. She said, "Pop, how did you end up here?" And I said, "Honey, a dying man put a phone number in my hand." And he said, "Brother Eddie," he said, "I really feel God's leading here. There's a church up in Columbia, needs a pastor." And he said, "I really believe you're to call him." His name was Rex Wheeler. He gave me that phone number. I called it. That's how I ended up here. He died just a short time after that. I'd done his funeral. But I answered that question, no problem at all, Gail. But on the way home, she had some more questions. On the way home, as we turned the curve right down here at the St. Old store, she wanted to talk about the bad place. First of all, she asked me, "Emmeline," she said, "Pop, I've got some questions I'd like to ask you about the Bible." I said, "Hallelujah, honey. Ask on." She said, "Is there any grass in heaven?" And I really didn't have a good word on that. I told her, I said, "There's a tree up there called the Tree of Life. Bears 12 manners of fruit. And its leaves are for the hens of the nation." I said, "There may be some grass up there. There's a river up there, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God." I said, "I don't know about the grass, honey." But you know then what she asked? She said, "Them people that go to the bad place, Pop," she said, "are they bound down there?" And I said, "Honey, they're bound in chains and flames." My wife said, "Don't scare her." And you know what? We think that. We think, "Don't scare them." But really, I'll tell you what, buddy. The Bible said, "By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." Yeah. It said, "The fear of the Lord is clean, it's health." I'm telling you, buddy, the fear of the Lord. "Come ye children," in Psalms 34, he said, "Come ye children, I'll teach you the fear of the Lord." Don't tell me they don't need to know about it. Right. My wife, she in a gentle way, kind of rebuked me a little bit. "Don't scare her." And I didn't want to scare her, and I don't want to scare you. I just want to tell you the truth. But people want to know, is there a hell? In Luke chapter 16, Jesus pulled the lid up off of hell and let us look down in it. That's what I'm going to comment on today. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus telling this, and this is not a parable. He said a parable on others. You find the word parable, you show it to me. Verse 19, he said there was a certain rich man. He could have named him. But had he named him, some mother, Pam, would have known their little boy was in hell. That wouldn't have been right. Now, he did name Lazarus. And the reason he named Lazarus is because Lazarus didn't go to hell. But it wouldn't be fair for God to name some loving mother's little son. And I have preached to a lot of people and I've looked in their face and I have no doubt whatsoever, and I can't be completely accurate, but Jesus said, by their fruits you'll know them. But I have looked people in the face and I have no doubt, no reservation in my heart that they're in hell today, and a lot of them are family members of my own family.
That's right.
Amen. In Luke chapter 16, verse 19, Jesus said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. There's a million of people like that today. They're trying to figure out how to get them taxed. And I'll be honest with you, they're pulling their money out of the stock market right now. And there was a certain beggar. Now these are affirmatives. There was a rich man. There was a certain beggar. And Jesus told his name. He said a beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and designed to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs did come and licked his sores, and it came to pass, and it will come to pass to you too. Solomon said there's one event that comes to all, to the young, to the old, to the rich, to the poor. It will come to pass to you. Your life's but a vapor. You're here for a little while, and then you're going to vanish away. You're like the grass that withers. You're like the flower that fadeth. I promise you this, it will come to pass. You know why we die? We chose it. God said, Adam, there's one commandment. Of all the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. Jared, he said, in the day you eat of it, he said, you're going to surely die. That's one commandment. We couldn't keep it. The Bible said the serpent most subtile than any other beast in the field. He come to Eve and he said, yea, have God said, by the way, the first thing the devil attacked was the Word of God. And he's still attacking the Word of God, Brian. He's still trying to take the truth so we can't know the truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. But he said, yea, have God said. He said, for God don't know that the day you eat of it, you'll be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. And the Bible said Eve saw that tree to be desired to make one wise. And she did. She took and eat of it and gave to her husband, and he didn't eat of it. And they knew they was naked. Amen. A knowledge of good and evil. The Bible said by one man sin entered in the world and death by sin. But I'm glad Jesus Christ came down here and gave Himself a ransom that we might be able to escape the wages of sin, which is death, and receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23. But I'll tell you right now, it will come to pass. You will die. We chose it. It was a poor choice. And the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, as it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment, it will come to pass. I wish we didn't have funeral homes. I wish we didn't have tombstones. I've got a 17-year-old daughter. I know it comes to pass. Out there at Memorial Gardens in Glasgow, Kentucky. I've got a mother and father. I've got an aunt, uncle, cousins, nephews. All out there. Don't tell me it don't come to pass. It does. Mary, I wish it didn't, but it does. It said it came to pass. Read your Bible there. It came to pass, verse 22, that the beggar died and was carried by the angels. My granddaughter asked me, she said, Pop, how did we get to heaven? I said, God will send a heavenly escort, honey. Well, there it is. He's carried by the angels. Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, when you was young, you gird yourself whithersoever, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee where thou art not able. I can't take myself to heaven. I'll have a heavenly escort. But he's carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. There's a big difference right there. Ain't no angels at the rich man's death. I don't even know if he had anybody show up or not. I've been to a few of them funerals. Man, they had to hire pallbearers. But verse 23, don't miss this. This rich man was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, peril, and seeing Abraham afar off. Now, if you want to know where Abraham's bosom is, just read plainly. And Lazarus in his bosom. God told Abraham, he said, Abraham, your seed's going to be like the stars of heaven without number. Your seed's going to be like the sand of the sea without number. Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom. I'm 50, soon to be 59 years old. I don't see anybody here I'm able to hold in my arms. But if I could, that'd be what Abraham's bosom would be. Emma's little baby, if it was here this morning, I could hold that little baby boy in my arms, and that would be Abraham's bosom. I know we've got all kind of far-fetched stuff about Abraham's bosom. Let me just clear the air on that. He's in Abraham's bosom, afar off. And he cried, and they do cry in hell. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Now, my preaching text is way on down at the bottom, but I won't read all this. I'll just read them two verses. He said, and cool my tongue, for I am, affirmative again, I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. And I'm telling you, brother, they are tormented down in hell. Amen. He said, and besides all of that, he said, besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf pitched, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us which would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee. Now here's the prayer. This is what I want to preach on today. Here's the prayer of a man in hell. And I want to try to honor his prayer. Do they pray in hell? Without ceasing. They don't let up, Ham. They don't let up. They weep and pray. And their prayer is that no one will come and join them. They don't want nobody there. The only one really ought to be in hell. I told my granddaughter, I said, honey, the Bible said that Jesus made hell for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25:41. But Jesus said, I go away, prepare a place for you, St. John chapter 14, verse 2. And that place is called heaven. And there are two different places. In heaven, the streets are gold and the walls are jasper and everybody's happy. And in hell, it's fire. And I tell you what, it's pain and torment. And ain't nobody happy. But he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. That's talking about the word of God. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. In his death, bodies of many of the saints got up out of the graves and walked through the cities. That didn't work. People are still going to hell. But I want to honor this man in hell's prayer request. He said, I pray that someone would warn people about this place called hell. Now, I'll try to be as brief as I can. Like I said, I got more message than I got messenger. I know how to warn people not to buy a certain car. Me and my wife first got married, we bought this little old Pinto station wagon. And I'm not kidding you, you could not drive it across town. They never could ever find out what was wrong with it. We had to have it towed all the time. She was pregnant with one of our children. Was going down to Bowling Green to have a steak dinner. And that thing died. We had to hitchhike home. And they had to tow that thing home. Now I could warn people not to buy one of them Pinto station wagon cars. I could do that. I can warn someone not to eat something. I could say, listen, that's yuck. And by the way, everything was good yesterday. And I wish we had more here. It wasn't all eat. We had all kind of leftovers. But I can warn someone, say, don't eat that. Oh, that's yucky. I can warn someone not to do something my mother told me when I was young. She said, don't touch that. It's hot felt. You know what I did? I went on over and touched it anyway. And I come to mama crying. She said, I said, don't touch it. And she kissed it and made it better. My granddaughter fell skating and bruised behind then. And she wanted to know if her nanny would kiss it. Nanny probably would, but Pop won't. Amen. There's just some things I won't do. Amen. But I'll tell you what, how to warn someone about a place called hell. I don't even know if it's even possible. But I want to do my best. Because I don't want nobody to go there. Jesus don't want nobody to go there. And if you knew what I knew, you wouldn't want to go there neither, Emmeline. I don't even want my worst enemy. We're talking about bullying in their school. I don't even want them bullies to go there. Paul, he said before he got saved, he was a blasphemer. He said he was a persecutor. He said he was injurious to the church of God. He said, howbeit I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly. On the road to Damascus, Brian, he was on his way to hell. And in Acts chapter number 9, there was someone standing in his way. And if he hadn't got in his way, he'd have made it, buddy. He'd ask him who he was. He said, "Who art thou?" And he said, "My name's Jesus." He said, "It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." And if Jesus hadn't gotten his way, Saul at that time, instead of Paul, would have made it to hell. He said, "I'm telling you, I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor. I done it, I was injurious to the church, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly. And there was one in his way, glory to God. He got my way. He'll get you. He wants you to go to hell, amen. Don't go there." Right. How do you warn someone about a place called hell? Oh me. You think it'd be commercials on TV. Don't go to hell. Good luck. Oh me. The Bible. Jesus cried out, Luke chapter 8, verse 8. "He that have ears to hear, let him hear." You know, we got ears, two of them. We got one mouth. We use this one. We use these. I don't know what it is. But I believe we've come down to a day and time that our ears are dull of hearing. And we just don't hear as good. And I need hearing aids, I guess, this morning. And you might too. Because I want you to hear this morning what the Word of God says about hell. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 13, there was a man that showed up at the marriage supper and he had not a wedding garment. And the bridegroom came and said, "Friend, how comest thou without a wedding garment?" The Bible said he was speechless. And he said, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the lake of fire. Cast him into outer darkness and there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Hell's the kind of place there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. The gnashing teeth is from the pain. And the weeping is because they know they've missed heaven. And the weeping is because they know now hell's real. There's no skeptics. There's no atheists. There's no agnostics in hell. They're all believers now. But they believe too late, amen. The Bible said today to hear His voice. Harden not your heart. Oh me, my wife. Don't scare her. My granddaughter asked a legitimate question. She said, "Pop, when they get down to that bad place, are they bound?" Jude, one chapter, verse 6, said they're bound in chains of darkness, ready to be revealed in the last day. Bind him, the Lord said, bind him hand and foot. Cast him in out of darkness. There'll be weeping, gnashing of teeth. I had a cassette tape one time. It was made about some Russian scientists that drilled, I forgot how many miles, 9 miles or something like that, down into the earth. And when the drill pierced through, when they pulled it out, first thing a big demon got out and it scared a bunch of them atheists. They run plumb out of their shoes leaving. But they had recordings going so they could hear what all was going on. And I've got that cassette tape. I gave Melvin one of them. But when they pulled that bit out of that ground, you could hear people screaming. And I mean, it was audible. There wasn't no missing it. It wasn't a sound alike. And I mean, some of them screaming louder than others, but they was all screaming out of that hole. And that scientist said, "Now I believe there's a hell." But I'll tell you what, buddy. I don't care whether you believe there's a hell or not. I'm going to do my best to warn you about it. Jesus said, "He that have ears to hear, let him hear. We have ears, but they're dull of hearing." And like those in Noah's day, when the long-suffering of God waited 120 years while Noah was building an ark and obeying God, the Bible said Noah moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house. And only 8 people got in there in Genesis chapter 7, but they went in. Amen. You read Genesis chapter 6, you'll see it said he repented God that he made man because he saw that the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually and it grieved him at his heart and he said, "I will destroy man whom I've made off the face of the earth." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You can find grace this morning. I'll tell you right now, if you don't find grace, we sung that song, Amazing Grace. If you don't find grace, I'll promise you this, there will be room for you in hell. You know, we had an earthquake over here yesterday. And they also had an earthquake, I think, down in Mexico. And it was like 7.0. The one over here is like 4.3. Jared, you know what I think every time we have an earthquake? I think about that verse I read there in Isaiah chapter 5 where it says, "Hell have enlarged herself." I think about hell getting a little bit bigger and the earth quivering. And that earthquake's cause it's getting full down there again. And it's having to enlarge itself to receive those that are coming. And I'll tell you what, the Eagles sung a song called Hotel California. And that song's about a church that was bought by a Satan group and Anton LaVey. And he made the first church of Satan. And he said, "We've not had that spirit here since 1969. And I tell you what, there's talking about a church that was turned over to a church of Satan. And I tell you what, buddy, down there in hell, Anton LaVey knows now he was wrong. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I think about when those volcanoes are up, it always makes me think, man, is hell running over? Is it getting so full down there that people There ain't enough room for them down there. I promise you this, there is a hell, Philip. I promise you this, buddy, down there, it ain't funny no more. The Bible says fools make a mock at sin. These comedians make jokes about sin. They think it's funny, Sophia. They're not laughing down in hell. Down in hell, they're saying, why didn't somebody warn me? They're down in hell, they're saying, why didn't you come more often? I remember when I was a little boy, Brian, I met a little boy. How old are you, Philip?
11.
I was probably about your age. I lived at 118 Newman Street. And I remember in the living room, my dad went to answer the door on a Sunday morning. And I'm behind him. I mean, I followed my dad every step of the way. And he's a big old guy, and I looked up to him, and I still look up to him, even though he's in heaven. But my dad opened that door, and there was a man at that door, and he said, sir, I'd like to invite you to church. My dad tried to be polite. And he said, sir, thank you for inviting me. He said, I work 6 days a week. And he said, Sunday's my only day off. I'm trying to remember, this is a day going back through the archives. My father said, I work 6 days a week. I'm only off one day Sunday. And he said, I go fishing on Sunday, sir. And that man, boy, the Bible said the righteous are bold as a lion. And God said he made his ministers of fire, Anita. And that man told my dad, he said, there ain't no fishing holes in hell. My dad, man, he slammed that door to the doorknob, went out there in the front yard, I believe. He said, that's why I'm going fishing. Boy, I can't say everything he said. But I'll tell you what, if my dad had made it to hell, he'd have said, mister, why didn't you warn me more? You know, I'm going to try my best to preach. I'm going to try my best to warn you. I'll fail. And I'll tell you what, not only I fail to warn you, you'll fail to receive the warning. And you may end up in hell, but I'll tell you one thing. God won't require your blood at my hand. Amen. I remember one night I was going to work. And I was running late. I don't know what it is about us, but somebody knows there's not enough hours in a day, fam. For somebody knows we're like the devil going to and fro just like crazy. I see people now, I just pull over, let them by me, and they're riding in my trunk of my car. I'm thinking, man, good grief. I finally turned on my road last night going home. I told my wife, I said, I'm glad nobody's on my bumper now. But anyway, I was going to work one night. I was in a hurry. This young boy, 18 years old, John, flaming red hair. Titus, flaming red hair. Not like yours, buddy. John, 18 years old, leather jacket on, chains, you know. Come out there. He said, sir, how much you need? I said, fill it up. I'm sitting in my gold Ford F-150 pickup truck. God said, get out and talk to him about his soul. I didn't just jump out, Brian. Man, I had a little bit of a battle in there. I'm trying to find a track, you know, a nice track. Not one of them, one of them tracks that said, you don't have no promise of tomorrow, or hell's no laughing matter. I was trying to find a nice track. I finally found one. I got out of my truck. Here I am in my truck. John's right here. And I get out of my big Ford truck, and I start back to John, and he's right there pumping my gas, little 18-year-old boy. And I open my mouth to talk to John. I said, and a man walked between me and John and started talking to him. And Brian, for some reason or other, I thought I had plenty of time, and I got back in my truck, thought, I'll talk to him next time. He died that night. That night, John went out of this world, and far as I know, went straight to hell. He went to a party that night. I don't know what it is about young people. Somebody knows they want to go to parties, Mary. Yes, I don't know what it is about young people. Somebody knows they want to go to a party and try to kill themselves with drugs and drink and everything else. But he went to a party that night, and he is drinking. That's mostly what they do. And he had a gun out, Keith, and he's waving his gun around. It's good to have a drunk with a gun. And his girlfriend said, John, put that gun up. You're going to hurt somebody. He said, it ain't loaded, and put it in his head and blowed his brains out. More people died, I think, from unloaded guns than from loaded guns. But an 18-year-old boy that God told me to talk to him about his soul, I have no doubt I have his blood on my hands. There's nothing I can do about that. I can't wash it away. I have no doubt at the great white throne judgment, John's going to say, Eddie, I pumped your gas. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you warn me? Why did you leave me? But I'll tell you what, buddy. And Noah built that ark, and only 8 people got in, and the rest of them perished. Genesis 7:7. But I'll tell you right now, Jesus warned people about hell. I'll be brief as I can here. Matthew 23:33. Jesus said, you serpents, you generation of vipers. He said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? That sounds like a pretty good warning to me. Jesus said in verse number 15 of Matthew 23, he said, you can pass land and sea to make one proselyte. And he said, when he's made, you make him a twofold more child of hell than yourself. Somebody said Jesus was polite. Yeah. Ask him about when he made that cord of that scourge of cord to come in there and drove them out over through the money tables of the money changers. Ask him how nice he was then. There's sometimes, buddy, I want to be nice, and there's sometimes I can't be nice, but I want you to know he warned them about hell. They didn't heed it, they didn't receive it, but he warned them, amen. Jesus said, Luke 12, verse 5, but I will forewarn you. Yeah, he warned people about hell. It's kind of quiet here, ain't it? He said, I will forewarn you. That's what I try to do, Jared. I try to forewarn people. You know, I done a funeral one time of my cousin's grandfather. His daughter, which is my aunt, Betty, said, Eddie, she said, will you do my dad's funeral? John David Smith, I said, sure I will, Aunt Betty. Her son, my first cousin, Chuck Gunnels, he sat right here, he's an honorary pallbearer. Sitting back there where Pam is, my aunt, June Wallace, sat right there where Pam is. Chuck Gunnels sat right there. And John David, he's right here. And I preached John David's funeral. And I've got the obituaries right up here in my Bible. As I preached that funeral, unknown to me, within 1 month, I done Chuck Gunnell's funeral. I didn't know it. I preached pretty rough. And my aunt asked me if I'd do her son's funeral. I did. Within another month, I done my aunt's funeral. And her funeral was a whole lot easier. She took me to church when I was a little bitty boy. She didn't know that she was hauling around a preacher, and I didn't know one day I'd do her funeral, but it was an honor to do my aunt's funeral. I didn't get saved when she took me, but I do remember her taking me. I remember her loading me up and taking me to church. I remember that, Aunt June. Amen. But Jesus said, you know, if I'd have known Chuck was going to die within 1 month, I don't know what I'd have said any different. But I tried to forewarn him. But Jesus said, I will forewarn you to whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he have killed has power to cast into hell. Yeah, I say unto you, fear him. That's a warning of hell and God. Amen. Mark chapter 9, verse 43 through verse number 48. Jesus said, if your hand's going to cause you to go to hell, Jesus said, cut it off. He wouldn't. Exaggerating. He wasn't kidding. He said, if it's going to cause you to go to hell, you'd be better off without it. You'd be better off to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. He said, if your foot was going to cause you to go to hell, he said, cut it off, you'd be better off. He said, if your eye was going to cause you to go to hell, he said, pluck it out, you'd be better off. It's that kind of place. I'll tell you right now, Jesus tried his best to warn people. I try my best to warn people. You don't hear no message on hell today. You go anywhere you want to. Go to any website you want to. One reason that website's visited so much about that message on torments of hell, ain't nobody heard a message on hell, and I don't know when, but I'll tell you one thing. We need to warn people about a place called hell. Amen. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 11 through 15, John said, I saw him upon the throne from whose face the heaven and earth fled away, and there's found no place for them. He said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books was opened. You've had a book wrote about you, Jared. And it ain't naughty or nice. It's everything you've ever done, ever thought you've ever had. It's everything. If it's not on the blood, it's in the book. The Bible said the books were opened, and they were judged according to those things written in the book. I'm glad mine's on the blood, Brian. Amen. The Bible said the blood of His Son Jesus cleansed us from all sin. I'm glad, praise God. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. Gail, I've got mine on the blood. Amen. I know it's ain't a popular message, Gail, but I'm just going to get it over. You know, I just want to get it off my chest, be able to leave here and have peace with God, to know I delivered all what He told me. But He said the books was open. They were judged at those things written in those books. It said death and hell, David, gave up those which are in them. You mean it don't stop at hell? Nah. You mean to tell me they buried Osama bin Laden at their sea and he's still going to come up before God? Absolutely. The Bible said every one of us must give account of ourselves to God. And they're all going to stand. And the Bible said, And whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast alive into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Boy, it's bad to have a place called hell. Finally get out of it for just a second and then be cast into the lake of fire to be tormented from ever and ever. And the Bible said in Isaiah 59 that they'll look down and see the smoke of their torment, and they'll look down and they'll see them down there being tormented forever and ever. I don't want to see you there. I want to see you up in heaven. But the warning of the lake of fire, verse 15. You know, ain't it amazing? Acts 19, verse 15, the Bible said that that demon in that man said, "Jesus, I know." Ain't that amazing that the devils know Jesus?
Amen.
And the Bible said also in James chapter 2 that the devils believe in God and tremble.
Amen.
And they're still going to hell. Ain't that something? They know Jesus. And they believe in God and tremble, and they're still going to hell. Ain't that something? The devil's got more than a lot of people I know. I mean, the devil believes in God. The devil knows Him. Amen. He said, "Jesus, I know. Paul, I know, but who are you?" And the devils, they believe in God and tremble, and they're still going to hell. Genesis 19:14, Lot told his son-in-laws, he said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But he seen this one that mocked unto his son-in-law. They said, "Get out!" I can't. Because I'm going to have to answer to God. Don't hold it against me for warning you about a place called hell. That man in Luke 16 said, "Send someone to warn them. Lest they come to this dreadful place." I'm trying to honor the prayers of a man in hell. Trying to honor the God that called me to preach, count me faithful, and put me in the ministry. And I'll tell you right now, Lot tried to warn his son-in-laws, and they said, "Chill out, buddy." They got consumed. When God rained down the fire and brimstone from heaven, they were consumed. They were destroyed. Lot couldn't prevail. The Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 through 5, that in the last days there will come scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, "Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they did from the beginning." The Bible said, "For this, they're willfully ignorant." The will of God is He'll have all men to be saved. The will of God is that you get saved and go to heaven. But if you turn down His will and you die in your sins, I don't care what you've been able to, some kind of reputation you've gained down here, everybody says, "I'll tell you what, he's a good man." Well, let me overthrow just a little bit of that. God said in Romans chapter 3 that there's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that doeth good, no, not one.
Amen.
God's will is for all men everywhere to repent. God's will is for men to be saved. God's will is for men to come live with Him in a place called heaven. We made this a hell down here. I remember one time I was going to Bowling Green. Thank you, Lord, for bringing this to my remembrance. I was going to Bowling Green on Highway 31. And before I got to Bowling Green, Brother Melvin, there were signs on the left-hand side of the road, and they were consecutive signs. And the first one said, "Don't have nothing to do with meth." And the second one said, "Meth made my home a living hell." Even that living hell is not like the hell that God made for the devil and his angels. I'm telling you, buddy, that's a real hell. And I hate it. I know meth does make homes a living hell. I know we've made a lot of hells down here. We've made our homes a hell. We've let demons come in and devils come in. And it's caused people to get divorced. And it's caused people to drink, do drugs and all that stuff. And we tattoo and pierce and say, "You know, I don't mind suffering." Listen, when you go to hell, you'll mind suffering. Amen. Yeah, look at that clock, James. I'll tell you right now, there ain't no clock in hell. Amen. But oh me, last days there'll be scoffers. Last days, buddy, I'll tell you what, they'll wonder, "Oh, you know, is there really anything to this place called hell?" Amen. God said in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18 through 21, God said, "The one, the wicked." Also, He said, "And the righteous of hell, or else I will require their blood at your hand." But let me say, with all the warning about hell, I don't want to stop there. I want to also say, I want to welcome you to heaven. In Revelation chapter number 22, the Bible said, the Spirit says, "Come."
Amen.
and the bride says, come. And the Bible said, he that's athirst, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Listen, I don't want to just warn you about a place called hell. I want to welcome you to a place called heaven. I want you to know the Bible says everybody's happy over there. It said there ain't no death over there. There ain't no pain over there. Ain't no sorrow over there. Ain't no tears over there, Sister Anita. I'm telling you, but it's the kind of place I'd like to see called heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Over there, they don't shoot up. Over there, buddy, I'll tell you what, they don't abuse children. Over there, amen, they don't do anything but praise the living God. And you know what them disciples saw Him transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration? They saw Him in His glory. And I'll tell you what they said. They said, this is a good place to be. Heaven would be a good place to be. But I'll tell you what, if you do go to hell, you'll have to trespass the will of God to get there. You'll have to trespass the love of God to get there. You'll have to trespass the Word of God. People do it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, even though the bridge is out, there's a few try to make it. They say, I don't care if a bridge out, I believe I can make it. They're like old Evel Knievel wanted to jump Snake Canyon. Whew. Hell has enlarged itself to receive thee at thy coming. If you go to hell, don't blame me. If you go to hell, don't blame the one that went through hell just so you could be forgiven. The Bible said that he was... His vesture was marred more than any man. The Bible said the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Bible said he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. It said God saw the veil of his soul and was satisfied. And he said, whoso has the Son has life, and he that hath not the Son of God has not life. Jesus said, him that believeth on me, and John chapter 1 verse 12, he said, he that believeth on me have everlasting life. And I'm telling you what, buddy, if you don't believe on him, you ain't going. He's the door of heaven. He's the way to heaven. I'm telling you right now, apart from him, you are not going. Amen. I told my granddaughter yesterday, I said, you know what the door of heaven is? She said, the church. I said, it's close, honey. I said, Jesus said, I'm the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. I said, honey, you know the way to heaven? She said, the church. I said, that's close, honey. The Lord loved the church, gave himself for it. The Bible said, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone name the name of Christ apart from iniquity. When I said, Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way. Don't miss it, honey. I said, Jesus is the way. Don't miss it, honey. Jesus is the door. I wasn't trying to scare Brian. I just want to make sure my granddaughter. I want to sing that song about the wayfaring stranger. It talks about my mother's there. My father's there. And there's a lot of people that are there, and I'm looking forward to meeting them again. Some of you got loved ones there. That's one reason they call it heaven. There we get to be reunited. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, even them which sleep in Christ Jesus will God bring with Him when He comes. And He'll tell you what, buddy, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and us which are alive are going to be caught up in the clouds to be together with the Lord forever. Amen. I say hallelujah. Well, please call heaven. Don't end up in hell.
Amen.
Father, thank you for the message. I pray somehow, Father, the preaching has prevailed to someone that's in the valley of decision this morning. Lord, I know this is not a pleasant message. I get no joy at all preaching a message like this. But I pray, dear Father, you would honor the Word of God. And Lord, I pray you would examine the hearts that are here this morning. And Lord, I pray for that one that's nearest hell. Lord, old song says someone will rejoice and happy they'll be, and someone will remorse and cry mournfully. Maybe it's you, maybe it's me. I pray, dear Father, today that Lord, you would give the invitation by the Holy Spirit of God. May you usher the souls that need to come this morning. We'll thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd ask everybody to stand, please. Forget up. Pam, would you please help Brother Melvin, please? An invitation on him. Listen, I don't know your situation. Listen, I want everybody to know the Lord. I want everybody to go to heaven. There's plenty of room. I'm telling you, there's plenty of room. There's room enough for everyone that wants to go. Jesus got a nail-scarred hand reaching out saying, come. Come. Jesus said, John 5:40, He said, you will not come to me that you may have life. Why not just come to Jesus, get it fixed today? Why not just take Him at His Word? Why not just receive Him? I quoted about part of this verse, but in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that's athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. Won't you come this morning? Won't you come? I'll pray with you. I don't know how to pray, Brother Eddie. I'll pray with you. I can't pray for you, but I'll pray with you. That man in Acts chapter 8 said, how can I except some man should guide me, that Ethiopian eunuch? Won't you come this morning? I'll help you. I'll pray with you. I'm saved. I know the Lord. Are you surrendering to Him? Are you holding out? Have you given Him all? All He asked for is your heart. He said, my son, give me thine heart. Somebody's got your heart. Does the Lord have your heart today? Surrender all. Listen, I don't care, young or old. 80-year-old or 80-year-old. You need to come this morning. Come. Jesus, if you'd be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. I'll tell you right now, if you come under shame, He'll receive you. He said, all that come to me, I'll in no wise turn away. Take it here for the first time. You feel God dealing with your heart. That ain't me. That's Him. I mean, buddy, my heart beat like a jungle drum. I loved the preacher and my wife, but it wasn't even one. God bless you, Will. You come this morning. Come on, this man here showing how easy it is to step out. If there's any doubt at all, won't you come? Come. Lord, bless my brother this morning. I thank you for William. Lord, what a blessing it is, Father, to see people obey the Lord. Lord, I don't need to know. Lord, you and him already know. And I pray you and him, Father, have resolved here. Lord, dear God, you made it so easy. You've done all the hard work. All you asked us to do was come, receive, and believe the Word of God. I pray for William. Lord, I believe William's in good standing. I believe you just got a burden for someone else. I don't even know who that is, but I pray for him, Lord. I thank you for William. I pray others, Lord, come and join him this morning. Lord, you're worthy to receive the honor. You're worthy to receive the reward of your suffering. Lord, I don't know what's wrong with the Baptist church today, but I see bearing altar calls. That bothers me. Lord, I want to be found more on the altar instead of less. I pray, dear Father, Lord, you break somebody's heart this morning to realize that you had to go through hell just to give them heaven. May they come up here for no other reason than just to thank you for dying for them and taking their place on a Roman cross on a hill called Golgotha. Get glory and honor here this morning. If somebody else needs to come this morning, listen, I welcome you. Come. Come. The Bible said today, you hear His voice. Come. Are you coming? Come on. Don't step out. Come on down. I know the devil's pushing you from the front. Push him aside. Come on. Make your way down here.
All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
What about it today?
Have you surrendered all to Him? Are you holding out? Listen, the devil will love you to put it off.
I surrender all. I surrender all.
God can't move you. I know I can't. I'm threatening to bring hand grenades and dynamite. I ain't brought them yet. But I wish you'd come this morning. Thank you, Brother Melvin. Thank you, Sister Pam. What a blessing you've been to show up here this morning. Let God use you. You know what? If y'all not in heaven, y'all terribly disappoint me. I expect to see every one of you in heaven. I pleaded with you and preached to you the Word of God. I love you. I'm your brother. I'm nobody. I'm just like you. Sinner saved by grace. But I pray that everything's well with you. Anybody got a word on your heart this morning?
Brother Wade, it's a strange thing. Your message came today. People might not like what I have to say, and I really write this point. Just don't care. I just would like to say, you know, today, about an hour, they're going to bury my ex-husband. He's going to go, he went to hell, and I know that he did. And they're going to say pretty pictures over him, and they're going to say pretty words.
Right.
And they're going to bury him in a church graveyard up here. And they're going to think it's all right. But he was one of the most evilest, vilest men. And he said he would never vow.
Right.
He said he would never confess. He was a pedophile. He was a physical abuser. He's done a lot of things. And he was with a lot of people. And he slept with a lot of people. And he was in Masonic lodges and had his fancy diamonds and all of his fancy things. But I know that he's in hell. And I told him that one time. I told him that he was going to be in hell.
Amen.
And he said he didn't care. And you know, if anyone could even just imagine or just think.
Yeah.
And that's the only feeling that I had about it. Was that, you know, it's a shame that someone went to hell.
Right. Amen,
but I
sister.
No doubt. And you know, we shouldn't sugarcoat it. Just like you said, you put it out there and you put it plain.
Plain.
And it is, it is. And you know, I haven't talked to the family. I haven't had anything to do with them, and I have no intentions of it.
Bless you, Sister Nita.
You know,
if the Lord can't save them, I promise you this, I certainly can't. But she's right. You know, some people, their mind is made up. They're just not going to let the Lord take His rightful place on the throne of their heart. And I've met a million people just like what she described right there. But there is a place called hell, fit place. Down there they wished that they hadn't been so stubborn. God bless you, Sister Anita. I hate to hear that, but she's right. There's a multitude just like that. Anybody else this morning? I want to thank the Lord for our visitors this morning. I hate to preach so rough. They show up over here, and here I am preaching like a wild man. And I've tried to be nicer tonight. I'd like to invite them back tonight. But I had to preach that message this morning because God put it so heavy upon my heart. And I'm glad to get it off my chest, if that's be a fair statement. But I'm good to have the visitors here this morning. Fill the whole pew all by themselves. And amen.
It's been a blessing to me to have them here with
you. Yeah.
No trouble tell these young men that Christian.
Yeah.
You know, they
that's
get
right.
The Bible and they use them. I like to see that, you know.
Yeah.
Appreciate them. People like to chill like that.
I like them names too. Yeah. Titus, Philip, and David. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Good to have Brian, Pam. Good to have everyone here today. And I know I'm buttering the bread this morning, but we don't get very many visitors. I run them all off. So I just want to tell him I appreciate him coming by here this morning. He said he'd just been going around visiting churches. I bet you haven't heard very many messages on hell when you've been out visiting, have you? And you know, Jesus did preach a lot about hell. He preached a lot about heaven too. But the reason he preached about hell, he didn't want nobody to go there. The reason he preached about heaven, he wanted everybody to go to heaven. And I wished everybody would go to heaven. But anybody else got in there in your heart, I went beyond and pointed down.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I remember the day that I walked at Calvary.
God bless you, Mom.
I remember a lot of
loads. Yeah.
And I remember when I got to Calvary.
Didn't have to take it no further than that, did you?
I remember when you applied the blood.
Yeah.
I ran off with you.
Hallelujah.
Now, Jesus, I'm good.
Bless your heart.
I pray that
He's holy. Amen. God bless you. Help yourself.
But the blood.
Amen.
Without that blood, you are going to hell.
That's right. That's right.
No matter what time of the night or the hour, He's there.
Amen.
She preached my message this morning for the service. She's preached my message tonight already. The Lord's with her, I can tell you that.
I love Him.
Amen.
I know He would have died for me if I'd been all the way on this earth.
Amen, you're right.
He would have died for me.
If He knew only one person would get saved, He'd have still went to that cross. Amen. The Bible said He set His face like a flint towards Jerusalem.
I have my troubles here, but thank God He's by my side.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God. I praise Him this morning. I do love Him.
Bless you,
I
Mom.
Do.
God bless you.
That was back in April 27, 1983, and I've never looked back.
Hallelujah.
I still got that blood right there. I love
you
this morning.
Bless you, Sister Molly. Who else got a word this morning? I'll give you a few minutes. I've been yakking like I don't know what up here. Try to shut up a minute. Alright, are we done? Still opportunity right now. I remember one time, buddy, a guy come down at the very last minute of service, got saved. Slid in there. From his church. Yeah, when we dismissed Daniel, he stayed back there. He didn't leave. And I said, Daniel, what's the deal? He said, there's still time. Get saved. And I said, yes, sir.
We were right straight at this altar. Daniel got saved. I don't care. I like it on that fashion. I'll take it any way I get it.
Amen.
He says, is it too late to get saved? I said, no, sir. He didn't leave. He stayed in here and got saved. I really offer everybody's heart.
Lord,
yeah.
I don't need to speak up, but that is on my mind. You're preaching hard like they're preaching hell. That's a lot better message you really hear, but that needs to be preached.
It's, yeah.
It is true.
That's right.
And people know my spirit religion. I used to think spirit religion wasn't good, but I'm wrong. Spirit, I mean, it is. It takes spirit to get people saved.
It's true.
To keep them saved. But, you know, people, I think people get saved because they fear this, but then it takes a relationship. It takes love to keep them saved.
Amen. You're right, Brother Richard. I remember when I was a young boy, my mom and dad, they believed in this one. I thank the Lord to still have it. But they instilled that in my heart. It made me think twice about picking something up I wasn't supposed to pick up. I started feeling my hind end warming up. And I tell you what, buddy, it made me walk the line. I still remember how they instilled in my heart that some things I shouldn't do. And if I did, there were consequences. I love my mother and father more for busting my hind end than anything they've done for me. I'll tell you what, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he'll go when he's old and not depart. And I'll tell you what, it don't really say spread a rod and spoil the child, but it does say, if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. There's a lot of scripture in the Bible about raising a child up. And the Bible said, whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and if he don't chase, he ain't son. Yeah, I don't want to quench the spirit here. But God bless you for coming. God bless you, Pam, for playing the piano. And your husband, Brian. I hope y'all make a habit of coming back. Brian, if you wouldn't care, would you please dismiss us for a prayer there, buddy?
Sure. Well, we thank you for the day you've given to us, and we thank you for the good help and the strength you've given to us to be able to come out and put preaching the Word of God and be able to pray and get all the practices worked out and heart.
Yes.
Shed that precious blood that we can have eternal life. And we'll deserve it. If anything deserves it, it's the blood of Christ and your grace. We're going to be saying praise for that. Help us, dear God, to live a life that shows appreciation.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.